Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter number 1, Old Testament. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, chapter number 1. When you find that, when you find the book of Jonah, I want you to put a finger there, and then I want you to flip backwards to the book of 2 Kings. So keep a finger in Jonah, and then go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 14. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. It is the Word of God. We read verses like Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8 that says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And we say, "Amen." We read Matthew chapter number 28, and we read verses that say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." And we realize that the Bible is all about reaching people. But if we're not careful, we'll get this thought in our mind that reaching the world is a New Testament concept. That in the Old Testament, God was really concerned with the nation of Israel, and then in the New Testament, God became concerned with the whole world. But nothing is farther from the truth. See, the business of reaching the world has always been God's business, right from the very beginning. When God said go into the whole world, He meant to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. When we look in 2 Kings chapter number 14, if you look down with me in verse number 23, I want to show you something interesting. The Bible says, "In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coasts of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant," who? Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath Hepher. See, if we're not careful, we'll read the story of Jonah and we'll think, well, Jonah's just this made-up person. No. Jonah was a real person. He lived around 826 BC. He was a prophet of God to the northern kingdoms. Now, as the brother just taught us, the northern kingdoms never had a good king. All of the kings in the northern kingdom were incredibly, incredibly wicked. And Jonah was called by God as a prophet to the northern kingdoms. That was not an easy place. It was a difficult place to be a prophet of God, to stand up for God. You know what Ahab and the other kings did to the prophets of God. It was not the best of jobs. Yet Jonah faithfully executed his duty. You know what? I find that in churches today, we have a lot of Christians that live in difficult circumstances. They live in difficult places. They work difficult jobs. And they do the best that they can to stand up for God, to be a witness in their life, in their community, to be a lighthouse in the opportunities that God has given them. But interestingly enough, Jonah was a prophet in the northern tribes of Israel reaching his people. And when God came to Jonah, a prophet of God, and said, "I want you to reach the world," do you remember what Jonah said? "Oh no, not me." Absolutely not. A man that was a prophet in the most difficult area that you can imagine, when God came to him and said, "I want you to go as a missionary," he looked and he said, "No, thank you." I want to show you a couple of reactions, because I believe this week, as we hear great messages and great preaching, I want to show you four reactions very quickly this evening to missions, because I believe that if we're not careful, we can have the same reaction that Jonah had. Turn with me to Jonah chapter number 1. You're holding your place there. And we're going to read in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, not just any Jonah, just in case you're wondering, the son of Amittai," the exact same thing that it said in 2 Kings, "saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Take me as your servant. Empty me of any self and sin. Fill me with your spirit. Help us this evening, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen." God came to Jonah and he said, "Jonah, I want you, a prophet in a difficult area, a preacher, a man of God, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to tell them that they're wicked, but if they're willing to repent, I am willing to save them." We know what happens. Jonah looks, and the Bible says in verse number 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." This man of God, when God said, "I want to use you to go there and reach those people," his first reaction was to run from God. Now, this is incredible. Jonah, a prophet of God, a man that spoke for God, a man that regularly proclaimed the word of God, this man believed that he could run from God. Now, you know how ridiculous that is. Whither can I flee from thy spirit? Where can I go from thy presence? It's impossible. If I descend up into the heavens, if I descend down into the depths, everywhere that I go, you're with me. How in the world did Jonah think that he was going to be able to run from God? But let me ask you a question. How in the world do we think we're going to be able to run from God, yet we do it all the time? God comes and he says, I want to use you to do this. I want you to go and talk to that person. I want you to talk to your neighbor. And we say, oh, no, I'm getting out of here. And we do the same thing that Jonah did, and we run from God. Why did Jonah do this? I'm not sure. Some historians tell us that by this time, the Assyrians, the capital of Assyria was Nineveh. The Assyrians had already come down and had already wiped out part of the northern tribes. The historians tell us that it's very possible that they had killed some of Jonah's family, or they had killed some of the people or destroyed some of the towns that Jonah was familiar with. Listen, I don't know the reason that he didn't want to go. All I know is that when God said, go and reach those people, Jonah said, no, they don't deserve to be reached with the gospel. And listen, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in the same situation where God says, go and reach those people, and we say, no, not them, Lord. See, today it may not be the Assyrians, it may not be the Ninevites, but we all have people in our mind that we say, Lord, I'll go anywhere, just don't send me there. And his first reaction was to run from God's command. But not only that, it didn't stop with running. The Bible says, but the Lord, in verse number 4, sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid. Let me ask you, do we have anybody here that's ever been in the Navy? Any Navy people here? Anyone? Anyone here ever been on a boat? Okay, even better. All right, there we go. Now listen, have you ever been out on a boat when it starts to rock back and forth, it starts to get a little choppy, and you get to where you feel a little uncomfortable, you're a little bit afraid? How bad does it have to get before the captain of the boat gets afraid? Listen, you may be afraid because you don't live on a ship, but when the captain of the ship gets afraid, you know that you're in bad shape. Listen, I had a guy, when I pastored in North Carolina, I had a guy in our church that was in the Navy. I asked him, I said, how bad did the waves have to get before you would get afraid? He said, Pastor, there would be waves out there that were up 30 feet, and I'd get in my rack and go to sleep. Think about that. That's a wave higher than this building, and he would get in his bed and go to sleep. I don't know how bad the storm was, but I know that it was so bad that the men that were professional ship seamen, they were afraid. And where is the man that's never been on a ship before? He's in the bottom of the ship asleep. Now listen, this isn't the sleep that Jesus had on the boat because he knew he was in perfect control. See, this was different. Jonah was in the bottom of the ship and he was asleep. And listen to what the Bible says. Then the mariners were afraid, and listen to these words, and cried every man unto his God. Listen, the mariners on the ship were so scared that these wicked men were crying to their God, their gods. And where was the one person that actually knew the Lord God? He was asleep in the bottom of the boat. Why is that? Because I believe that when you run, you'll relax. And you'll relax to the point that you won't even hear those around you that are calling out to false gods, asking them, they're calling out, pleading with their false gods for help, and we'll become deaf to the pleas of this world, and we'll say things like, people just aren't religious these days. Really? That's interesting, because Islam is growing at an alarming rate. Oh, people just don't want to hear. Is that true? Because Hinduism is growing all over the place. Oh, people just don't want to hear. Really? Is that true? Because all of the statistics tell us that that's not true at all. Yet the people of God plug their ears, they lay down, and they say, people just don't want to hear anymore, so I'm just not going to tell them. Why? Because when we run from God, we relax about our responsibility, and we don't even hear the world that's crying out to gods that cannot help, and us that know the one true God, we don't even hear them. Jonah was a man of God. There were people crying out to their gods, and Jonah was not up proclaiming God. He was asleep. Was Jonah commanded to go to these mariners? Did he hate them? Was he mad at them? No, but when you're running from God on one front, you won't hear the people that are crying out for God on the other. Jonah ran and he relaxed, but not only did he relax, the Bible says later, and I'm assuming that you've read through this passage before, so we're moving quickly through this. If you've never read it, go back and read the entire passage. Take some time and do that, because it's really incredible. He ran, then he relaxed, but he didn't just stop with relaxing. You know what happens. They wake him up and said, why are you sleeping? Cry to your God. And Jonah looks and he says, I don't need to do that. I know what's going on. I said, what? He said, yeah, I'm a prophet of Jehovah God, and he's been telling me to do something, and I'm not willing to do it, so he's after me. They look at him and say, what should we do? Do you remember what Jonah said? Jonah said, turn this boat around, take me back to land. I will get on the first donkey that I can find, and I will head straight for Nineveh in order to tell them about God. Is that what he said? Did he say, hey, can you hang a left at the next buoy and see how close to Nineveh you can get and drop me off there because I'm going to do what God told me to do? What did Jonah say? Jonah said, throw me overboard. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Jonah thinking there's going to be a great big fish that God has prepared, he's going to come and swallow me up, and then he's going to take me to Nineveh so that I can do what God has called me to do? Was that what Jonah was thinking? Absolutely not. What was Jonah asking for them to do? To kill him. Do you know why? Because Jonah said, I'd rather die than do what God told me to do. See, when we run, we relax. When we relax, we'll get to the point where we'll say, I'll refuse. I'll do anything other than what God has called me to do. I will not do that. And God, you can kill me, but I won't do it. How could a man of God get to the point where he's looking at God and he's saying, just kill me, throw me overboard? Do you know what the interesting thing is? The Bible says that when they threw him overboard, do you know what happened? Look down with me in verse number 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Look at what the Bible says. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Listen, it wasn't until they got the man of God off the boat that they could actually see God. Isn't that a shame? Is it possible that God has to get you off of your job before the people at your job can actually see God? Is it possible that God has to get you out of your neighborhood before your neighbors will ever come to know him because he can't trust you to do what he's called you to do? Listen, Jonah got to the point where he refused to talk to these people about God. And the amazing thing is, the Bible says in verse number 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, listen, I think all of you know that the Bible wasn't written with chapter and verse, right? The Bible was just written. They added chapter and verse later to help us out, right? So you understand that Jonah wasn't like chapter 2, right? That didn't happen. So what we're reading here is in verse number 1, we're actually reading a continuation of verse number 17. So let me read it again, and we're going to skip the chapter and just go straight down. The Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed. When did Jonah pray? If you had been thrown overboard and got swallowed by a whale, you're in the belly of a whale, how long would it take you to pray? See, I would have prayed immediately. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. See, here's what I think happened. I think Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, and the Bible tells us that it didn't happen immediately. I think Jonah thought, you know what, I'll be dead soon. This isn't going to last very long. Fish swallowed me up. That's unfortunate. Somebody can't survive that long. I'll be dead. I'll get my wish. And day one goes by. And he said, well, couldn't possibly live another day. I mean, I'll starve to death. I mean, I should only be able to survive a couple of days without water. I mean, how long could this possibly last? And then day two goes by. And then day three goes by. And I think at day three, Jonah realized the point that God was trying to make. Jonah, I won't even let you die. I believe that if Jonah had never prayed, Jonah would still be in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of the fish, 1,000, 2,000 years later, because God said, Jonah, you don't get your wish. You don't even get to die. You're going to do what... Listen, God can make you do what you refuse to do. God knows how to break you. It took Jonah 3 days to pray. Do you know why? Because God can make you do it, but that doesn't mean that you won't resent it. You remember Jonah when he got out? He did exactly what God told him to do. But you remember what happened after he did what God told him to do? He went under a gourd and he said, oh, just kill me. Just kill me. Wasn't that the same thing he was asking for on the boat? Because you can get to the point where you will resent even the thing that God forces you to do. Let me ask you a question. Why would we ever get to that point? Wouldn't it just be so much easier that when God is knocking on the door of our heart to just look and say, God, I'm willing to do whatever it is that you called me to do. But if we're not careful, I believe in a great church like this. Listen, Jonah was not just some wicked man. Jonah was a prophet of God, and he got to this point. Do we think we're better than him? I believe that God wants to use people in this church, in this room here tonight, to reach the world. But are you running? Are you relaxing? Are you refusing? Or are you resenting the fact that God called you in the first place? What we should do is we should repent. And we should tell God, yes, I'll do whatever it is that you called me to. Don't end up like Jonah. Don't sit in missions conference week after week, year after year, month after month, and refuse to do what God has called you to do. Open your heart and say, God, if it's what you're calling me to do, I'll say yes.